Good afternoon. I'd like to welcome everyone to the study session, Mesa City Council for Monday, June 22nd, 2009. I'd like to excuse Councilmember Higgins. Unfortunately, she will not be with us today. Her father passed away yesterday, and our condolences go out to her and her family. Our thoughts and prayers are with them. We're going to juggle things up a little bit on the agenda today. First of all, we're going to describe what we're going to have a contest to see who can guess what I got as a gift for Father's Day.
And
a haircut. It was before Father's Day. Yes, I got a tie. And for my daughter, I am wearing my gift, my Father's Day gift today.
Is your son named Johanna?
But I would like to thank Mr. Zietzman, who actually tied this thing for me. This is not a clip-on. It is an actual tie-it. And he lied to me and said how nice it looked. We'll move ahead with item number two on the agenda, which is to review tonight's agenda. Okay, page two. Yes, Councilmember Summers.
Mayor, may I suggest that on items 5A through F, unless there is dissent from a council member, we act on those in one motion if possible? Is there a problem?
As a separate item.
After the hearing?
Combined?
After we've had
a hearing. Right. Items 5A through right. 5F are take action. It's not the public hearing.
Correct.
That's item four. So.
But we need the public hearing prior to taking action on those items.
Yeah. So then we can vote on the.
We'll take so.
Unless they're pulled by the public.
Stephen,
or
we'll come up and after we have the public hearing as item four, we'll call up and if you would read items 5A through 5F in, and then we will discuss and take action as a single item.
That's correct.
Single vote, not a single item, a single vote
correct.
On items 5A through 5F.
Provided no okay.
Provide, yeah, and yeah, if somebody wants to pull one off separately, then we'll do that. Okay, does that make sense? Okay. And then we will once again recess the regular council meeting. By statute, we have to have a special council meeting to formally enact the budget. So we'll do that next after item five. Anything on page six, or page six, item six, page three? Page four. Page five. Page six. Councilmember Finter?
Just going back to page five on 10F, if I could get some clarification, we're doing an emergency purchase of respirator masks. You know, I wonder if Chief Bradbury, if we could find out the background behind that, just a brief why we're doing that. Somebody had asked me about that and I forgot to get the answer.
The emergency masks, Mayor, Councilmember Finner, emergency masks are replacements for in stock for disaster management. I don't have the details on that. That would be Chief Damiani. But I could get back with you with the answer on the details if you need some more details on that.
Let me just, as in the backup, when we were going through the swine flu episodes, there was an opportunity to purchase these, and not knowing how long that was going to continue, and we went ahead and ordered those. What is it? The quantity is the 40,000 of those. So that's when we did it. We declared that emergency at that point to make sure we had enough going into at that time to respond to that incident that was going on. So that's the explanation.
Okay.
And we were able to purchase them through the Metropolitan Medical Response Grant Program. So it's grant dollars that are being spent. And it was, we think it was still pretty competitive price at the time.
No, I appreciate the preparation and the thought process getting ahead of it. So thank you.
Okay, thank you. Back to page six. Page seven.
750.
Page eight. Councilmember Richens.
Chris, just a question for you about how the Indian 12% Indian gaming grants go, because some of the organizations that apply through MESA aren't MESA organizations. Can you help me understand how, like Foundation for Births and Trauma, I think the actual, like 11D, it's a temporary lodging near the Maricopa Medical Center.
Hmm.
So how does that work when people approach MESA and we sponsor? Does anybody?
Yeah, at this point, our policy has been is if anybody asks us, because this really is a pass-through grant, we're just, they have to have a municipal, I don't know, word sponsor is the right one, but application from a city. Right now, at this point, we forward everything that comes to us, pretty much, that comes to the city, unless it's in conflict with something the city's already doing. So we really don't have a policy, really, other than to almost forward every application that comes to us to the tribes through the gaming.
Irregardless of where.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not sure what, and I
that's fine.
Don't see Jerry. I think Jerry's out today.
Well, let's go back, because I know this has come up several times before. Mm-hmm. In state law, under the gaming compact of, 2002 that went in, there was 12% of gaming revenues that get granted, or the Indian tribes agreed to grant back to the communities. As part of the law, the mechanism which was chosen was they have to go through a city. We have nothing to do with the grants, with preparing the grants, administering the grants. They're not our deals at all, other than, and we would not be involved in them at all, with them at all, but for this provision in state law, which required a city to actually process the applications. So we never touch the money. Is that correct? We never touch the money. We actually don't prepare the grants or anything. We literally take it in. And that's why we get involved, is that we have to vote on this and to approve the processing of the grant, even though we have no control nor anything else.
Yeah, and I think the idea with this service particularly is that while it's not in MESA, it potentially could serve MESA residents.
Right.
As a burn victims might
is,
be.
Is, does, so, for example, we would get a check in that case for $150,000, which we would immediately turn over to the nonprofit?
I don't even know that dollars don't even go through our account. They don't show up on our ledger.
They go straight to the organization.
That's correct.
Direct to the organization.
As the mayor says, in order to comply with the requirements of the state law, they make application or through us, at least they have to, we have to be a sponsor, or I'm not sure what the right word is, but we have to come with our approval moving the application forward.
I think the idea was to connect the grants somehow with the city, but not burden us with having to process certain of these events. So this was sort of a, it goes through, we know what's going on, we know what's happening in our community, we process the paperwork, but we can't approve, deny, or we don't even touch any of the money. It just literally, the grant flows through the city entity, and the money goes directly to the grantee.
Thank you.
It seems discombobulated, doesn't it? Oh, okay.
Good explanation.
Oh, well, thank you. I wouldn't have done so well had I not had the intellectual disability on.
And I was just trying to keep a straight face through the whole thing.
Back to page 8. And page 9. Councilmember Summers.
A little short. Page 10.
Oh, sorry about that. Page 10. Councilmember Summers.
Item 12D is there's also a development agreement being worked on between the planning, or I'm sorry, the Development and Sustainability Department and the applicant. I'm still not thrilled with the current the current one.
I have my bow tie. Iteration.
Thank you. Thank you. See, I didn't wear my tie. Maybe that was a problem. But I'm comfortable with putting it on consent for introduction. So could we put that on consent?
Put it back on consent. And once again, we are simply introducing this.
Correct. It's just an introduction.
Okay.
Final.
So 12D is back on consent.
I need to get some more sugar with some apple juice, right?
Okay. Anything else on page 10? Page 11? Okay. We'll now move on to item number 3, to hear presentation, discuss, and provide direction on the noise ordinance.
Good afternoon, Mayor, City Manager, Ms. Spinner. Nancy Nanowski, I'm assigned to the Mesa Police Department.
You're going solo on this, Nancy?
I'm sorry, I'm asking Ms. Sorensen.
Yeah.
I thought I was in Detroit for a moment. Excuse me. I'm so used to having to say that.
I know. The bow tie's just confusing everyone today, isn't it?
Like it's thrown everyone off today.
You're going solo on this?
I am going solo on this. I hope you don't mind.
Good. Okay.
I'm here before you this afternoon to talk about changes to the city's noise ordinance. And I'll break that down into two components. One, the city has an excessive noise ordinance, and two, the city has a loud party ordinance. And what I'm here to ask you is if the ordinances can be amended so they, one, are more effective tools for law enforcement, and two, provide clear direction to the citizens on what standard of conduct is acceptable in our community.
Nancy, I apologize. We currently have two separate ordinances.
Correct, we do.
What you are proposing, what you're going to be talking about today, are amendments to both these ordinances?
Correct,
or
sir.
Combining, or rewriting, or?
Actually, it's a complete revision of both ordinances. So there will be two separate ordinances that will replace the existing.
All right, okay.
Let's talk about the noise ordinance first, and I'll go through this PowerPoint, although I'm not a real good PowerPoint person, so excuse me in advance. The noise ordinance, and I think it's really important to understand this, the noise ordinance does not apply to everyday noise. The standard is based on reasonableness, so noise that is loud, excessive, or disruptive is prohibited if it's intermittent or continuous for a period of 15 minutes or more, or it occurs between the hours of 10 p.m. and 6 a.m. and exceeds the property lines of the area in which it's occurring and disturbs the peace and quiet of the neighborhood or a person of reasonable sensibilities. So that's what we're requesting the ordinance, the standard of the ordinance be. There are exemptions to the ordinance. There are three types of exemptions. General exemptions, which apply to everyday activities, emergency, police, and fire. Temporary exemptions, which are at the discretion of the city manager. And then there's special events permits that go through licensing. There's different levels of responsibility that are built into the ordinance. For example, a homeowner could be held responsible. The person who's making the noise can be held responsible. The sponsor of the event can be held responsible, as can the property manager. There's a graduated fine.
Nancy, who determines that?
Who determines who's making the noise?
Who's responsible? Is that the officer on site?
The officer will make that determination at the scene of the incident.
Okay.
There's a graduated fine schedule, so the more frequent you come in contact with the police or receive a violation, the higher your fine will be. And we're requesting that the ordinance be a civil infraction as opposed to the misdemeanor, which we have now. A civil infraction, and the rationale behind that is the officer is able to testify in court as opposed to having citizens come in and testify against their neighbor, which they're often reluctant to do in this type of situation. So that is an overview of the noise ordinance that we're requesting. And the unruly gathering.
Let me ask you that.
Yes.
And I hate to bother you, but.
No, please.
Civil versus criminal. I mean, isn't there a little bit more than that? The differences is different also. I mean, the fines, the penalties are different in a civil versus
criminal. Well, of course. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, not everyone understands or gets that. So
a misdemeanor is a jailable offense. Okay. The police can arrest for. A civil infraction, you cannot arrest for it. You issue a violation.
So it's a ticket. You pay for it. And that,
correct.
And that's your, whereas a criminal, we actually had people who were having too much noise. That, and one of the reasons why I'm sure that neighbors wouldn't go forward is that people get thrown in jail.
Absolutely.
If they're convicted.
That's correct.
Now, generally, that didn't happen, but it could happen.
It could.
Whereas a civil, it's a traffic ticket.
Correct.
Basically. Yeah, Vice Mayor.
Well, and a big part of that, too, is before, when it was criminal, you had to be a victim.
Yes.
The neighbors had to be a victim, and this way, where it becomes civil, they can report an offense, but the officer's the one who actually takes control, just like writing a traffic ticket. It is
correct.
Now a civil issue, and the officer's the one who makes the determination.
Correct. The officer can go forward with the prosecution on his or her own, as right. opposed to having a witness or the victim appear for the prosecution in court.
So we decided to go to the civil, number one. to bring it into line with the type of offense we really felt it was, and number two, to ease the enforcement of it because we don't have to find victims, we don't have to involve neighbors. We can go out and say, listen, you're too loud. Everybody knows you're too loud. The officer makes their judgment call based on the criteria that we've laid out, and they can issue a citation.
We thought that. We thought the prosecutions would be more successful with civil violations.
Well, it appears to me like it cleans it up. It brings it more in line with what the actual offense is.
Yeah, I think it's more realistic.
I think most people would be surprised to even find out that a noise right now is a criminal offense versus a ticket.
That's true.
First time I heard it, I have to.
You didn't know that?
I did not know that. So.
Moving on to unruly gatherings, which really address the loud party issues that we have. We currently do have a loud party ordinance. And while it has been effective in some respects, it has not been effective in that officers cannot issue disbursement orders underneath it. So let me back up. The unruly gathering ordinance is based on a reasonableness standard, same as the noise ordinance. So what that means is if the party or the gathering disturbs the peace and quiet of a public or private place, it would be in violation of the ordinance. It's based on a reasonableness standard, so a person of reasonable sensibilities. Noises or disturbances include excessive noise from traffic, from people, obstruction on the high or on the roadway by vehicles or persons, drinking in public and serving alcohol to minors. And what's significant about this ordinance is that it allows the police to order a dispersal order at the scene, whereas our ordinance now does not allow for that. So the police can go to the scene and they can break up the party if it's so unruly. And they can arrest violators for other violations of the state law. This ordinance also is a civil infraction. So we're hoping with the civil infraction we'll have more successful prosecutions similar to the noise ordinance. Victims will not have to appear in court. Officers will be able to testify on their own. Again, the level of responsibility is the homeowner, the person who's making the noise, the sponsor of the event, the property manager. It also has a graduated fine scale similar to the noise ordinance. Not similar, it's exactly the same as the noise ordinance. So the more frequent you come in contact with police or receive a violation, rather, the higher the fine will be that will be imposed. And as I indicated, it's a civil infraction as opposed to an offense that you would go to jail for.
Okay, Nancy, where do these gatherings have to take place in order to fall under this?
Well, they can take place at anyone's private property.
Okay. City park?
City park. I mean, I would expect a city park they'd need some kind of permit.
Okay, but
if they received a permit, I would think that they would be exempt. I think there's an exemption provided in the ordinance.
That's what I'm getting at. How do we differentiate between an unruly gathering and, for example, a protest march?
I don't know if I can answer that question very easily. I think a gathering is more than five people. So conceivably,
I'm actually concerned if we can't answer that very easily.
No, a gathering is more than five people, as okay. Our ordinance has defined it.
All right. Well, I'm hoping if I'm protesting something, I have more than five people there.
All right. Let's say you have a protest with 10 people. I mean, I suppose that you can make an argument that it's a gathering. Because it includes more than five people, but and the connection would be the protest.
Yeah, you're getting into a gray area for me now, if we say that. Vice Mayor,
let me jump in on that one because you're talking about an unruly gathering. Just a gathering is not a problem, but if they incite problems, if they obstruct traffic, if they intrude on the rights of others. Well, if they're just gathering to protest, that's a whole different story.
Yeah, well, and that's true. I mean, there has to be some violation or some disturbance that they're causing. Just because people gather in a place doesn't necessarily mean that.
Well, I'm talking, and once again, we may be beating this thing to death and going over something that isn't really an issue, but I want to make sure you don't have 500 people who have gathered to protest something who are being pretty loud because they feel very passionately about this, and somehow we have even the chance that we're going to apply a law, which I don't believe is intended to cover legitimate public debate and legitimate public protest, and use the same standards as we use for someone who's having a kegger in their backyard.
No, you're absolutely correct.
Meant to cover.
Right. And you know, Mr. Mayor, also, you know, that you're dealing now into content issues. You know, if it's a protest, it's going to have a very high level of constitutional protection. So there's going to be a clear distinction between some people in their backyard, you know, just having a very loud party and perhaps getting out of hand, and people that are going to be demonstrating for a political reason, whatever that would be. You have different constitutional protections.
Well, I understand that, Chief. I want to make sure that our ordinance recognizes that difference. And I don't know, I'm just asking whether you believe that it does or doesn't, because I haven't read the specific words as it relates to that yet. So, Councilmember Cavanaugh, you're weighing in on some.
Well, Mayor, I think the issue is the definition of premises for the unruly gathering, which is either private property or business property. And so I think we're moving away from your concern.
So if it's in a public park, let's say that they do have a permit or whatever, which is to have a family barbecue.
Right.
And it gets, you know, it gets out of control. We'll use some other form, because they're in a public park. We have regulations in the park and things like that that we can use that would not treat that as a gathering. So this is primarily private gatherings that get out of control.
It is.
Okay.
It's the party crews that happen on the weekend that are officers.
Yeah. Like I said, didn't want to make a big deal, but I want to make sure that we're not stepping over that line.
And just, I mean, our officers get trained in distinguishing political expression and the whole issue of content and the First Amendment, so they have the ability to distinguish.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, you didn't interrupt. Really, that concludes my presentation. And I'll just reiterate that the reason we're requesting the amendments to these ordinances is so we have more effective tools for our officers on the street, and so that the members of our community really know what standards are expected of them on their day-to-day conduct.
Well, and as I recall, we have had incidences just recently where we had situations where there were noises that bothered people, and we didn't feel like under our current policy and our current ordinance we could effectively enforce that. I mean, I know
Correct.
There have been questions as to whether we can truly provide the kind of protection under, you know, loud parties and things like that, that it became unworkable or very difficult to really support neighborhoods and neighbors who are being bothered by unruly gatherings.
Yes, that's okay. True.
Councilmember Cavanaugh.
Mayor, I just point out that our Public Safety Committee reviewed these proposals last month and forwarded them to the Council with a favorable recommendation.
Thank you. Vice Mayor Jones?
First of all, I just want to thank Nancy and Chief Denny and all those who have worked on this. This has been a passion of mine for quite some time because I happen to live in the middle of a lot of it. And it's been very challenging because the officers have not had the necessary tools to do what they need to. And it wasn't until just several months ago that I found out that it was criminal and not civil, and that threw me a curve. So this rewrite is very important to me and my neighborhood, the people that I serve, and a big thank you to all those who are helping this. And I would like to move it forward, and I think we've massaged the wording enough that we have answered a lot of questions for council members and others who have been concerned. So, again, thank you.
Any other questions? Councilman Richens.
Just a quick clarification as I had been reading through this. Excessive noise really only occurs between 10 p.m. and 6 a.m.? Is that the
Well,
the theory,
excessive
or?
Noise can, if it, yes, but it can occur before 10 p.m. if it's intermittent or continuous for a period of 15 minutes or more.
So if I'm playing my drums in my garage.
It's really not meant.
Be friend to your neighbors.
I think it's wonderful to listen to. They may not. How is that interpreted by the, is that under the interpretation of the officer when he shows up? If
well,
he likes my drum music, then it's okay?
I don't want to interfere
no,
with
you. No, I don't think it's necessarily just an arbitrary decision on the officer's part. But let's say that you're playing your drums in excess of 15 minutes, and you're clearly exceeding your property line, and your neighbors are upset, you will be impacted by the ordinance.
And it's 7 o'clock at night.
Yeah. Or 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Or 3 in the afternoon. Anytime.
Yeah. You will be impacted by
regardless
it.
Of the time.
Regardless right. of the time.
So get along with your neighbors really well.
So I do need to make the shift to rock star then, after all. So, okay.
Well, is there any reasonable person that would appreciate your drum playing? I seriously doubt it. Well, but just to, I mean, just to clarify that, the reason why the 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. is there are boundaries. And the fact of the matter is if you're going to play your drums at 11 p.m., that is a de facto, that's out of bounds,
that's
is what we're saying.
Period.
Yeah. You don't need to have, not considered reasonable. You don't need to be 15 minutes. If you're making that noise during the 10 o'clock hours and, you know, in the early morning hours, you would be in violation immediately.
Right.
So from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m., I can play for 14 and a half minutes and be within the law.
That's right.
You could.
Buy a stopwatch. Councilmember Summers.
Along a similar vein, one of the goals of this council as far as economic development has been the integration of uses so that we don't have separate zoning areas for residential and commercial, and here's like take an opportunity to do vertically integrated mixed uses. An area near San Jose, Santana Row, is an example of that, where housing is on the third, fourth, fifth floor and up, and the lower floors are commercial and office uses, and some of that includes outdoor music and entertainment, particularly on the weekends. Are there any unintended consequences of this noise ordinance that relate to the outdoor activities that would occur in those types of vertically integrated spaces that we hope to create, particularly in the downtown area over by Gateway?
We have had discussions on commercial businesses versus residential and the impact that it may have on the city. And I think that there are enough provisions built in with the general exemptions, the special events permit, and the temporary exemptions that it would make allowances for that.
Well, also your standard, for example, should exempt that just by fact.
Right. The reasonable
if you live on the third floor of a multi-use building, which has a restaurant on the first floor, the reasonable person standard would indicate that you expect noise coming out of that first floor.
Absolutely.
And I mean, and I know we're getting almost law schoolish here, so, but that's what sort of concerns me, is that maybe we need to look at, as part of the general exemptions, some things that relate to those kind of mixed use or multi-use or urban type environments, where, you know, if you're going to live in that environment, you're going to expect, it's reasonable to expect loud noise.
Yeah,
I
know.
That's part of living there.
That we did add in the introduction a sentence that, you know, you have to expect noise in the community that you live in, and you're supposed to tolerate, I mean, a certain amount of it, certainly, but perhaps that is a good consideration to add something like that in the exemptions.
But more specifically, though, to your point, though, that is the type of things that you handle through licensing. If I'm going to apply for a license to have a restaurant, and part of that license is going to require that I have live music, then that has to be entertained. If you get that approval, then you have that general exemption.
And we have some of those issues now related to, I know there's one bar in particular and one individual who complains every 6 months or so, mm-hmm. that the bar activity, the outdoor bar activity, he can hear it from his home, which is, I swear, about a quarter mile away. So either they're very, very loud, or he's just got really good hearing. How is it going to impact current businesses who have an outdoor eating area, or maybe they play some music outside not too loud? Is that all part of the officer's interpretation of what's unreasonable?
Well, I mean, everything we do, there's a certain amount of discretion involved. And, yeah, officers will be trained as to what reasonableness is. They'll look at the type of noise that's being made, the hour, the area that it's being made in. But if it does violate the standard, if it's loud and excessive and it's past 10 p.m., they could be in violation of the ordinance.
And we have to turn it down.
Yeah, unless they get a special exemption. There are provisions for exemptions in here. Some of them are automatic. The general exemptions are automatic.
Mm-hmm.
And the special exemptions would go through the city manager's office. So if they're having some special event at a bar, that's what they would do, or get a special event permit through licensing.
But I think realistically speaking, you know, you're going to have to create a process for the licensing of those establishments to protect the investment of the people. If I put $1 million to put in a restaurant and I'm going to have music late at night, I'm going to want to have a guarantee that an officer is not going to come in and shut down my business.
Mm-hmm.
And that really is going to have to go through the licensing process. You can't just leave it up to the discretion of a police officer.
Yeah, Ms. Spinner.
Mayor, I think what we can do is add language in here saying that if they have received permission through the zoning process to have outdoor music in a patio setting, that they are exempt from the noise ordinance. We will have to, I believe we should try some specific exemption to avoid any confusion.
You know, I don't want to say grandfathered because that, I don't want to blanket grandfathering, but there are, and maybe we're talking about things that won't ever happen, but I'd hate to see someone who's been in business 5 years who didn't have to get a license, and all of a sudden someone's using this ordinance to come back on them. And the way we've worded it, they inadvertently fall under this ordinance. So maybe if we could put something in there about an existing, and I may be treading on, because I don't know what situations we have, because there are some situations we actually want to take care of. So
I believe, John, they have to get specific. It has to be a stipulation or something if they're going to have an outdoor patio with music.
So we may be talking about something that doesn't really exist.
That's handled through the zoning process. So if we just expressly exempt that situation from this ordinance, I think we'll cover the concern.
Okay, and then once again, through experience, if we find that we're running into situations like this, we can deal with those at that time.
Exactly. I mean, the only concern I would have, I would not expect to have this left up to the discretion of an officer if you have somebody that's...
And we wouldn't either. And that's
we don't want to put them in that.
That's unfair to the officer and the business owner. We agree with you.
Yes.
Yeah, typically, just having music on a patio isn't going to be the challenge. It's the subwoofers, and when they get that low resonating sound, they can have music that's fine to listen to that isn't going to carry a long distance. It's the subwoofers that become the challenge, so just need to make sure we don't let that get out of hand.
Councilmember Summers?
Very quickly, on a best practice, and I handed this over to the mayor, I promoted you, to the city manager. I read recently that a town or a city,
demoted him.
Yeah, he's got a nice tie too. There's a city that's utilizing the web for any individual who is going to have a party. They can register it for free online, and leave a phone number. And in the event that somebody gets a complaint on that address, that the police department can actually just call them rather than sending an officer. I mean, we are struggling to make sure that we have our officers where we need them, and stopping robberies is much more important than knocking on doors.
Do you have the information of that city?
Yeah. It's a college community where they have propensity for active parties.
Okay.
And so they actually have them to register in advance so that and they agree to comply by the rules and everything. And then, but if they get a call, complaint, it kind of gives them a free pass the first time, and then, you know, opportunity to try to work things out. If you haven't registered before your party and the police come out, then it's a more severe punishment. Is kind of how it works.
So
I think it's it's Colorado State University. I think it's Fort Collins.
Any other questions? Thank you, Nancy.
Thank
Steve?
You very much.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Okay.
Can we provide direction to move it forward?
Any opposition to moving this forward?
We'll make a few tweaks from
Make a few tweaks, base. Yeah. Okay. And yes, Councilman.
Could somebody follow up with Dina? I know she had an issue and she's not here.
Before today.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
There's already been some verbiage change.
Okay.
Thank you.
In her behalf, yeah.
All right. Let's go ahead and hear... reports on meetings or conferences attended? Anything? Mine is it? Didn't do anything. I had the opportunity of attending the annual meeting of the U.S. Conference of Mayors.
And what happened while you were there? You became board member.
Yeah. Was appointed to, got elected or however they do it, to the advisory board, which was a great honor. U.S. Conference of Mayors is different than the League of Cities and Towns. It's mainly for large cities over 30,000, and so it was interesting. I had a chance to talk with several big city mayors, Mayor Villaraigosa, Mayor Leppert from Dallas, Mayor Greg Nichols from Seattle. All those were there, and it's interesting that regardless, I don't know whether it's good news or bad news, but regardless of where you are in this country, every city is experiencing the same challenges we experience as it relates to finances. Even those states like Texas, which have up until now been able to avoid some of the big downturns, everyone's really struggling. And I don't know if that's good news or bad news. I guess if you want to share your misery, it's good news. But it's a real challenge. And I would say that our cities across the country are at have a real challenge now, because we're dealing with basic things that we've dealt with here in Mesa and trying to figure out a way to do it. And that means providing basic services with fewer resources, and that's something that, you know, small cities, large cities, it was interesting that no matter who you spoke with, it was like we were having the same conversation. And that's whether it's Mayor Nutter in Philadelphia or the mayor of Fort Lauderdale, Florida, or Mesa, Arizona. So it was very good to be there and to talk about different ways to handling these problems and really get a concerted front so that the cities can have a voice in Washington also. So, Mayor.
You demoted me.
Councilmember Summers.
Well, I've seen the mayor's job, and I do not want it. We had that very conversation on Thursday. The Regional Public Transit Authority met to discuss where we go in the future. We have a realization amongst the board members that the Prop 400 monies that are coming in to fund public transit, not just highways, but also bus routes, will, unfortunately, it just isn't going to be enough to meet the original objectives or the original goals of Proposition 400. After some rather lengthy discussion, we agreed that for the next 12 months, we will proceed as is with the plan, but during that 12 months, we are going to have to take a long, hard look at public transit in the valley with a realization that there is a new economy, and we are going to have to prioritize the routes to move the most people in those population centers to where the job centers are. And we're going to have some difficult conversations and difficult decisions ahead, but we will be working on that over the next 12 months. So we hope to have what is not just a regionally equitable transit system when we're done with this new plan, but one that's effective as well, because it just doesn't make any sense to try to have all the bus routes that we pointed at back 5 years or 10 years ago, whenever the Prop 400 was passed, but have a bus come by only once every hour. What good is that system? We need to have an effective system. It won't be as widespread as we had hoped when we had voted in, but it will be an effective system there. So,
and thank you for your efforts on that board, Councilmember. Appreciate it. This morning, one more item. Councilmember Richens and I had the privilege of visiting the La Masita Family Transitional Center, which is out on West Main, which is run by A New Leaf, headquartered here in Mesa. And Secretary Gary Locke, the U.S. Secretary of Commerce, visited our community with Congressman Harry Mitchell and spent a great deal of time at A New Leaf. And they're doing great work there. And you know, one of the Secretary's staff members was talking to me and was just commenting on how impressed he was with the things that we take care of here in Mesa. And I was explaining to him that, you know, I guess we're a little bit, I don't want to say spoiled, but we don't realize the high quality of social agencies that we have that are headquartered in Mesa, that were, in most cases, were born in Mesa. Things like A New Leaf, Mark Center, Child Crisis Center, the Food Bank, I mean, and I'm sure I forgot dozens of others that do great work in our community. And it was really satisfying to see a U.S. Cabinet official get to experience the good things that are going on in Mesa, because there are a lot of good things. Even though we tend to discuss in this meeting some of our challenges, there's a lot of good things that go on in our community. And Secretary Locke and Congressman Mitchell were duly impressed, and kudos to the New Leaf staff who treated them very well. And the best thing was the kids who, you know, they tried to stage a reading program, and the kids were just so impromptu and hugging and loving and sitting on people's laps. It was great to see that. They're really special people there. So that was something good that happened in our community today, and I appreciate all that were involved in that. Is that good enough, Councilmember Richens?
Well
done. Thank you. Okay, anything else? Thank you. I didn't have the tie on then. All right, Mr. Brady.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a reminder, we have a study session this Thursday, June 25th at 7:30, and our next two council meetings In July will be Wednesday, July 1st, and Wednesday, July 8th. Thank you very much.
Okay. We'll now move into executive session. I'll entertain a motion to move into executive session.
We'll move.
Have a motion. Have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much. We are now moving into executive session.